Welcome to the Kawartha Small Business Podcast, where we believe the Kawarthas can be the most thriving region in Canada for small businesses. I'm Brian Rump from Profit Coach.
And I'm Matt Garrity from Managing Digital.
And we're recording from the Thrive Podcast Studio at Thrive Coworking Community in 18 Kent Street West in downtown Lindsay. And with us today, we have our good pal, Les Smith.
Hey, guys.
Welcome, Les. Give us a introduction the way you would like to be introduced on this podcast.
Introduced on this podcast. I am a serial entrepreneur. I've had about 9 different businesses in my life, and I'm most excited about my most recent.
Are you usually most excited about your most recent?
Usually.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. Tell us about your most recent one.
Well, my spouse and I opened a hypnosis clinic. Sort of part of a long journey of me discovering that everything is about the mind. Mm. You know, and I learned that mostly in my entrepreneurship journey. And my, you know, I'm so lucky. I've had thousands of businesses have consulted with me at their launch stage. And that's just been, I've worked in entrepreneurship for so long. And I believe in my heart that it's one of the only free things left in our world. You are free. Whoa. Your own thing. And it's really embracing freedom, I think, to sort of dive in and say, I'm creative. I have the ability to offer something to the world. And I don't need somebody else to tell me what to do.
Isn't it so funny, though, that Brian and me speak to so many people that are business owners and don't think that they're free? They don't have that freedom. Do you agree?
That's a great question, yeah. Because at first I'm not sure that I agree, but as I think about your perspective really quickly, you're right. Like, they do think, well, this is a small business, and this is the way it is, and I have to do it this way. And there's just so many just perceived power structures.
The bank. Yeah. Right? You got your money from the bank, got your money in the bank. The bank's got a lot to say about how you do. Right? Customers, they're the ones who drive your business. If you're not making them happy, then you don't have much of a business. There are a lot of forces outside of you that are determining the choices that you make. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of nice being able to make the choices.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. The business owners like that they can make their own choices. I feel as if a lot of them are not free in the sense that they cannot step away from their business, or they feel as if they cannot step away from their business. They're always the ones that not have to be in charge, but they feel as if they're the ones that always have to make the decisions. And I don't know if that's true. I know that that's not true. That's how I've structured things. That's my freedom. And I've had my wife tell me the same thing a couple years ago when kids off doing something during the day at school where it's like, well, I should be working. And she's like, you can start your own business and not be able to do whatever you want to do. And I was like, oh, that's a good point. Like, that is why we did this, why we started this. And I think we forget that more often than not for tons of reasons.
I think the main reason, almost always, is just it's here. Mm-hmm. Right? Something might go wrong when I'm gone. Something might happen and I can't answer it. Some client might make a decision that is going to change my overall outlook for the future. Right? I think that when you're out there, you're putting yourself out there, then you have to. You're neither going to be an entrepreneur if you're not willing to put yourself out there personally at risk. Right? As soon as you put yourself out there, yeah, that fear button gets pushed. And you can spend an awful lot of time in fear. And then, as a result, you're trapped.
Does wanting to be in control, does that come back to fear?
I think so.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, let's say that the opposite of fear for this discussion is trust. Mm. And it isn't trust of you, right? It's trust that your larger picture is going right, that you're doing what you should be doing. And it's also trust in yourself. I'm a big believer. Self-esteem is all about knowing that no matter what happens, I'll be okay. Mm-hmm. And that self-esteem is that, you know, I've said this a million times. You know, the bird doesn't land on the branch because it trusts the branch. branch. The bird lands on the branch because it trusts its wing. And so what happens for, I think, a lot of entrepreneurs is they bump into stuff they don't know, which is normal, which is appropriate, right? And then that triggers the fear button. And to me, that's when you reach out. That's when I'm like, what you guys do here, right?
Yeah.
If I'm sitting in one of these Thrive offices and something happens and the trigger button goes off, I'm now feeling fear. I can walk out the door and go say hi to Matt.
Yeah.
I can walk out the door and go say hi to Brian. I got support. Yeah. I got people that are there going to say to me, what's going on? How are you doing? Oh, you got that. And that's, I think, a lot of times, probably the only, I would say, unexpected danger that you find yourself alone. I mean, yeah. You talk to me about this, about being in your basement.
Yeah, absolutely. Like the Thrive Now was born out of fear, if we put it that way, because it was me on my own. I was isolated and I was alone in my basement. And I had my wife, love her, very smart. At that point, no small business experience. I didn't either. But then I didn't have a network of other small business owners when I started to lean on either. I don't think I knew Brian yet, didn't know you yet, and I didn't know most of the people that we talked to pretty regularly, right? And I remember trying to like create a small group of a couple of us to chat every once in a while, and that kind of just broke apart really quickly. And but it came to the point where I was like, I can't do all this on my own. I don't know what I'm doing. That's when I realized earlier, like, we don't know what we're supposed to be doing. Small business owners most of the time.
And I think that's the why it's important to have some community and coaches.
Yeah.
Having this conversation online outside in the shared space there. But yeah, we don't know what we're doing. So we draw on all the places we've worked before.
Yeah.
So especially entrepreneurs, you know, like myself, who was a corporate person, and you might think outside the box in there, but when you get parachuted into your own business, all those things you know don't really apply the same way, and you don't have to do it that way. And so many do, especially coming out of big bureaucracies. You know, they start their business and they start writing policies for themselves when they don't need any policies, and it can get overwhelming really quickly, just what? Knowing what to do.
I'm a big believer that a lot of business ideas start with personal ability, right? Knowledge, skill, and ability that I have that I can sell.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So what we really are when we start is kind of a technician. Right? I'm really good at doing this, and I can do this. And if I get people that will pay me to do this, then I have a business. But once you have that money coming in and you've got work to do, well, now all the stuff you don't know anything about, right? Accounting and taxes, financial planning, haven't a clue, right? Now I want to get into some new products. Well, I don't know if they're in the factory. Now I got to learn manufacturing. So you go from this technician box and you really are compelled then to start to trust others, to bring others in. That's really hard. I think that sometimes increases.
Why is it so hard, do you think?
I think because of the awareness that you're the one that's pushing that on the block, and that if things go wrong, you're used to being a self-fixer, right? Mm-hmm. Like we all like to think of ourselves as capable. If I have a problem, I'm going to fix it. And if I have a problem with my bookkeeper, for example, I can't fix it.
Yeah.
Less is not a bookkeeper.
Right? Yeah.
And so Les has to pick up his, as I did quite literally early on in one of my first businesses. I picked up my 3 grocery bags full of receipts and my bank deposit book, and I went in on bended knee, feeling humbled and stupid, to an incredible professional bookkeeper who had me on the right track in 2 weeks.
Wow.
And that's when we say, that's when I adopted the idea, I'm just giving that to somebody else.
Sure. I was always open to it. When I met Brian, he introduced me to the concept of like who, not how, as a way to grow the business. But I think I was always open to it.
Yeah, you've had the attitude that's not there's a lot of business owners who just feel like they need to do everything. And I don't think you've ever been that person where you feel like you need to do everything.
There's things I like to do more than others, and there's things I know I bring a skill to, but more often than not, I'm happy to find somebody else who's better at it than me.
That's huge. Like, for a lot of people, they can't get there that quickly.
No.
And that's okay, but, you know, that you could get there quickly probably explains some of the growth you've had here very quickly.
That's a good point.
Yeah, the only reason we're sitting here is because of that, because some people would have the idea for Thrive for years, and then they would try to build it and do it all themselves, which would have been a completely ridiculous thing to try to do.
Yeah, I'm not going to. I'd have been in here with a hammer building the wall.
I spent less than 40 minutes trying to figure out a design software, to figure out like how to design an office space. And I remember Googling, like, how is an office supposed to be? I had no idea. Is it 10 by 10? Is it 8 by 8? And then, like, how big is the hall? And I'm like, I can't do this. Then I reached out to Tim and Chris, Home by Tim and Chris, those designers, and they took it from there. And I'm just good at navigating. So I'm doing more construction stuff now, and construction stuff like hanging stuff up on the wall. Like, I didn't swing a hammer to start this place. I didn't do a single thing in that regard.
That's cool.
So,
and that speaks to your network, right?
Yeah, that's true.
As an entrepreneur, I don't know what's more valuable to an entrepreneur than your network.
That's a good point.
Like, when I think of, you know, I did have a business here in Coeur d'Alene. We had a shop up in Pendleton Falls. And I used to go to all the networking events. And when I'd go to the networking events, it wasn't... Let me back up and tell this story. That one of my entrepreneurial endeavors was I was a musician. And as a musician, one of my gigs was in a big band, 20-piece big band. So lots of horns, lots of people with lots of ability. And as a result, people would call me and say, Les, you know, trouble. Less, you know, sax player. And I did, but I'd always get to say, yeah, but do you need a guitar player, right? Or do you need it for your front end? That was my thing, right? But it got me lots of opportunities by helping others get opportunities. And I learned then that when I go to networking events, I have in my mind what I need, but I'm paying attention to my friends and what they need.
Yeah.
And I've made so many fantastic relationships by going out of my way to introduce people to people, right? And I think way back early on when I was running my own practice down on Bay Street, I knew a guy at the BBC, and I knew a real estate agent. These were both friends of mine that I had worked with. And one of them was talking to me about alternative financing for businesses, right? They're at the real estate agent. And I said, well, you need to meet my friend Jason. And then I called in Jason. I said, come on, we're going to have lunch with my friend Don. You should meet Don. And they're like still best friends, right? Like, it's so much beyond anything business-like. It just feels good to know that I was out there and I was part of the process of people meeting people and growing their business, growing their life, growing their personality. I think we push networking. And then you do it badly. You think it's, you know, having the right handshake and giving out a business card. When it's really just having an open mind and saying, oh, I know somebody you should be. Because if they're then saying that about you.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that didn't hurt me introducing Don to Jason. I got lots of work from Don, lots of work from Jason as a result. Right? But they benefited at a whole other level.
Yeah. I've experienced that a lot since Vibe opened, a bad networking and how to network in the wrong way. And I bet you people don't think about it, but I found the best experiences I've had, and I know other people have had from a networking perspective, is building a relationship slowly, not going in and throwing business cards everywhere, not forcing a sale, not the jokes about, oh, you need so-and-so, come find me, not going in and try to get free advice and all this stuff. Just the show up, talk to people, build that rapport, and come back. Don't just come once, throw your business cards, and expect you to get business. Like, there's a method to this. there could be.
Yeah, I love that story because I think about just myself as like a little bit introverted. I would, if I teach at a college and if I were to do an assignment on, from depending on who's teaching it, that here's how to network, I would probably fail. I am not the best at cold pitching or just some of those initial impressions, yet my entire career has been built through networking.
Yeah.
And I have introduced, yeah, a lot of people I'm just proud to have connected them with. So I would say I'm a master of networking, yet I would say, you know, if I were to show up at, you know, certain business group ones, people would be like, that guy's not good at networking. I don't even have business cards at the moment. Usually I'm good at it. I find the people I need to find or I'll connect, you know.
No, I think you're great. I think I do agree that you're a master. I think we'll have conversations and you'll talk about this person, that person. You know somebody in every. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And to me, that's the idea of a network.
Right? Yeah, and I've never seen Brian like go into an event like that and like walk up to somebody like, hey, I'm Brian Rump. I'm Profit Coach. This is what we do. Like, to me, that's a failure. From a marketing or networking perspective, Brian's just good from a, he just slides into a conversation. You don't always know he's there, but he's able to professionally, properly speak about something, calm everyone down in a way, and he can connect, which is what you want.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you sell yourself short. You got some great energy. You put people at ease. You walk up to the strangers and you put them at ease. And yeah, that's wonderful. That's a huge, it's a rare life, it's a rare characteristic, and I think it's huge.
Thank you. I hate networking events also. I'm very introverted, maybe not very, but I'm more introverted than people think. And I, to use some of your verbiage, I put a mask on often. And I think I'm good at networking, but I'm, again, also from a classic networking perspective, I would fail as well. I'm not the guy that's just jump up and say my name and all this stuff. I will have asked. I'm comfortable with that because I've practiced that. I'm always like mentally prepared for that, but I'm not. I hate networking events where you're like just thrown in there. It's like, go mingle with people. I don't want to do that. I'm finding the person I know and I'm standing beside them for as long as humanly possible.
Yeah, it's funny how, you know, we even talk about these classic networking events and then I think, do they even exist?
Yeah.
That's sort of like, you know, I won't talk too much about college stuff, but sometimes there's exercises that I just think, this isn't even close to the real world. Like, you do this thing in a classroom that you think you're preparing people for, yet I did that same exercise 20 years ago when I was a student, and I never once experienced it in my life. And, like, I've sat in some boardrooms of famous companies and all these, you know, I have some stories and I can name drop some stuff and none of it was like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's, you know, it's kind of fictional the way we think that go to a place where lots of people shake a lot of hands and you're networking, right? Whereas it's really about opening yourself up. It's really about being willing to think that this next person I'm going to meet could be my next best friend. Mm-hmm. And feeling about yourself that you're a good friend. Mm-hmm. I'm a good friend. You would like to be friends with me. And I'm a good guy that way. And a lot of people are afraid of being rejected, right? The whole idea of rejection, of being mocked. Because, yeah. You know, when you're a kid in the playground, you think that kind of awful stuff. Mm-hmm. Right? But as adults, we would never do that. And when you ask somebody, oh, I don't want to go to that effort. Why? Because I'm afraid. Afraid of what? Well, there's all these strangers. Well, they don't have to be strangers because they're strange friends, right? Well, I just don't want them to reject you. Well, why would they reject you? They've got no reason to reject you. You're a nice guy. You're actually kind of funny. When you tell jokes, I always laugh, right? And you always say something that makes me think, like,
yeah.
Why wouldn't people want to be your friends? And when you say I'm afraid, and then you look at what you're afraid of, and then you realize that would never happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? Nobody would ever go to a networking event and say, oh, look at that guy over there, that less guy, he's a goat. Right? Yeah. Nobody would ever do that. Right? So why would I be afraid of that? accept that, you know, I'm not trusting my own wings.
That's such a good way of putting it. I already feel more about motivated about going to like the next networking event, which is a lot of fun. Yeah.
I need to take what he just said for my dating profile.
There you go.
I'm a delight.
You would love to be my next partner.
Yeah. You would love this.
Yeah.
I've been using the reframe lately, rejection is sexy, which I think we'll do a podcast episode on. And rejection in, you know, business, personal, you know, means you stood up for yourself. You know, you were a guide who called someone to action, and they either accepted that or rejected it, and then you can move on. So, you know, rarely do we get that full-on, like, mean rejection, but you might, you know, find someone who's not, you know, your next best friend. But if you're out there doing it, then you could find, you know, that next business partner or business relationship.
Well, great networking story, a good friend of mine. He's also probably one of the most wonderful salespeople I've ever met throughout my entire career. He used to say to me, you know, last life is a number. You just got to meet them. And at one point in his life, he decided that he really wanted to fall in love. And so he decided that everywhere he went, he was going to meet every woman that was there, right? And so he was at this big event, because he was a sales guy, and he was down in like, one of those big Toronto halls, and this woman walked by on her way out the door. And he said, hey, wait, we haven't met yet. And she looked at him like he was a little bit creepy, and she started rushing out the door. And he said, no, we haven't met yet. And he starts hustling out the door, right? And she's giggling, giving him all the signs like maybe it's kind of cute, it's kind of fun, but we just got to meet. We have to meet. And she was, no. And she gets in her car. He jumps on the hood. She said, please, we just need to meet, right? They've been married 30 years.
Yeah. No way.
Yes, right? They got two beautiful kids. They got a wonderful life. Yeah, like sometimes I buy into that. It's a numbers game.
You are implanting suggestions.
So funny. It is true. Like when Brian and I will talk about sales and like, I want growth and I want more sales. It's like, those people aren't all going to find me. And I will target certain businesses and I'll reach out to them. I think I've emailed 30 to 50 people in the last 30 days that have not replied to me without like wanting to sit down and have a coffee with them.
Right.
That's like kind of my gateway, and we will talk about marketing. I'm not going to bring it up, actually, but I'm going to like ask you to sit down with me for coffee. They're going to look at who I am. They're going to start asking me questions about marketing every time. But I've done it like 30 to 50 emails, plumbers, HVAC companies, other big service type of business like that, and none of them have replied.
You have no idea what's going on here. You have no idea that they didn't take that email and didn't get it.
Oh, no.
And say, I should, maybe there's something there.
Yeah.
Or I heard about this guy. Maybe I should follow up. I have an inbox full of those kinds of emails.
Yeah.
Where I think, oh, I really want to follow up with this. You need nothing else to go to the freaking website to look at.
Yeah.
Right? You don't know what's sort of swirling in their mind. And as Brian told me, send another email.
Until they reject you.
Yeah.
And rejection is sexy. And yeah. You know not to follow up anymore.
And then when I have done like cold calls, I've never had anybody get mad at me for calling them. I've only ever had experiences where people are like, this is so timely.
That happens more than I had we each have the same VA, Southern Sarah, who sent out a lot of emails on my behalf. And it's always funny when I'll get the reply. I don't even know the email goes out. It's like, oh, you had the perfect timing on this. And it's like, well, that's just a testament of why you send that out.
Yeah. I met a guy about a year ago at the gym. I won't say his business, but his name is James. And I was like, yeah, this guy's really nice. I know he's a business owner locally. I think it's a family business. And I drove by like every single day on the way to work. I was like, I got to call James. But I don't want to be like creepy. I don't want to be jumping on the hood of a car and being like, hey, I know we just met and we got to have coffee. So eventually I was like, no, like now is the time. And I met with him last month, like 2 to 4 weeks ago. And he was like, it's so good that you reached out. This is so timely. We're going through all this stuff right now. I need to work with you. I was like, it was just amazing how that went.
Well, I've become, you know, it took me a lot of years because I used to think you need to think it through. You gotta have a strategy. You gotta think it through. Mm-hmm. And then I started to just function on intuition.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's a lot of people don't have any connection to their own intuition.
Mm-hmm.
And they dismiss their own intuition as sort of mental noise and mental chatter. But when you have an idea, and that same idea gives you some kind of positive feeling in your body, anywhere in your body, somewhere in your body, you'll have some kind of positive kind of emotion, right? Emotion is where the mind meets the body, right? That's why we call them feelings, right? Like this thought has generated a feeling. And if you just have a random thought, and that random thought is creating a positive feeling in your body, you should act on it.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously you guys do.
I was going to say, I'm better at that. I was always, and this is my own unpacking of, you know, I would over-strategize, over-vigilant. I believe that has earned me the skill of being really good at reading people. But since I then, you know, stopped the over-strategizing and just go with the intuition, and again, the rejection is sexy. What's the worst that can happen? And even those rejections in my business, usually they're not rejections forever.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes it's like, here's exact, you know, you pitch or you say it and people are like, oh, no. But then 3 months later, when the thing you talk to them about, they start really noticing.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, that guy spotted that. Maybe he can help. And then you come back, and part of that constant network building is doing that. And you generate the people that you need to talk to. It just takes some time.
I think I'm really good with following my own intuition. However, I think sometimes, I don't know if it gets me in trouble, but I find sometimes when I'm acting with instinct, and someone like a week later will ask me, like, not what were you thinking, but like a clarifying question, and I'm like, what was I thinking? Why did I do that? And then sometimes I wish that I had like played a little bit more in some cases because of that, because I do a better job making notes because I've recognized this recently, that I will act on instinct because I'm like, okay, it makes sense. But then a week later, someone's like, why are we doing it this way? I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah, I learned I was a 12-year-old problem kid. You know, two hours. And I literally had a friend, another 12-year-old, say to me, you talk to me. And that was heartbreaking at the time.
Yeah.
And then as life would have it, I'm just a kid and I'm looking at the newspaper, and way back in the day, I had Dear Abby. And here's this Dear Abby article about the guy who gets told he talks to. And I'm just glued to it now. And in there was just this little nugget of gold that I've used the rest of my life. When you meet somebody, ask them a question. Don't say anything. Ask them a question about themselves.
You do that all the time. Yeah, and I'm just realizing that every conversation I've had with you and somebody else, you do that.
I've been doing that lately. And like, you know, I will shout out to Kindred, which is feels like my second home now. I go different times of the day, and I got to know all the staff. I just sit there, and I intentionally go there to be creative, and then I just try to ask kind of random questions, and everyone laughs, and I like know so much about all of them now, and it's just a great way to live life.
And you can be sort of strategic about it, right? You can ask questions that provoke things you want to know about. You can ask questions that invite people to talk about themselves.
Mm.
But I find that if I, in that first few seconds, see another human being, just like, right, living their life, caught up in a million things, not really interested in another distraction, but just another human being, and I can ask, if I can see the look on your face, and I can say, oh, things go better for you, how's things going? You go, well, what do you mean? Well, it's seeing that concern in your face.
Yeah.
Right? Or, you know, just simple life, what you working on? And I just find that, I 12-year-old me said, I got to learn that. I got to use that. It also taught me to listen. Right? Because once you ask a question, there's not going to be an answer.
Right?
And so you've got to pay attention and see where is that going. I find that that takes me from small talk to big talk. Instead of talking about the weather or how was your weekend, which is a fine question, right? It's a good question, but you could ask another question like, what was the most important thing you did this week?
Not so good. I was having lunch with people today. I don't know if they're going to listen to this podcast, but I'm just sitting there thinking, oh, I should ask them a question. And it was like, what did you do this weekend? And I'm like, I don't even really care. That's not even a good question. I don't care what their answer is. Yeah. I need better questions.
Need some go-to questions about things you care about.
Yeah, I was like, I feel obligated to ask them what they did this weekend. And then in my head, I'm like, I honestly don't care what they did this weekend. But I like those people, too. They're friends. I have other things I would love to know about them.
Well, and as you get to know people, right, then the questions start to become a little more personal.
Yeah.
Right? How's your son doing? Mm-hmm. Right? Now that I've gotten to know you and I've gotten to know your son and know your family a little bit, right? This interests me because I'm interested in you and I know that it matters so much to you. And I met these young boys once, right? Lovely young man, right?
Yeah.
So this is my chance to just connect. Mm-hmm. I learned that so young and it's something I practice and it certainly makes networking easy, right? To just say, you walk into a networking event, instead of how you doing, it's, what are you working on? That's just a great segue into Danny. What are you working on?
I like that.
And then you might actually find out you can help. Oh, you got to meet my friend Joe.
Yeah.
You know, my friend Joe does that. Oh, really? You know something? Yeah. Okay. Right? That's cool stuff.
It's just a fun reframe for me, because now I'm excited for networking, because I've been intentionally practicing these questions. And even I run into people sitting there who coming in, I know, and I've had just dozens of wonderful conversations. But using some of those questions, it's just fun to walk into a networking event and just think, how many new things can I learn today? Or like ask questions that they don't usually get at a networking event, because everyone's scared of the what's your business, what do you do question, but instead start with something else and those ones will naturally be good.
It's frightening people's response to that question though too. Like what's your business and what do you do?
Even when they highly train and have people talk about their one liners and they go on podcasts and
me? Are you making fun of me?
Yeah.
I'm wicked at my stuff. Are you talking his stuff?
No, on his podcast, you were like, oh, I forget how I describe it when you were introducing introducing Thrive. I laughed at that this morning when I was listening to that episode.
I've got my one-liner down for marketing.
Oh, but yeah.
From a Thrive perspective, that one is just,
not practice. No, it's just funny.
Because I think I'm really good at it. I'm proud of how I introduce myself when someone asks me, what do I say? Mm-hmm. I see it every day with someone this morning who's been doing it for 20, 30 years. He's in his 50s. And he fumbled all over himself asking about him and his business. And I was like, I was fascinated. I was like, how does he not know how to describe this?
It's so fascinating. I get when I'm in a networking where I know, not maybe the best at my own, but I love introducing other people in their business. And sometimes I'll be like watching them have their turn and then they diminish or like fumble it. And I just want to like run in and pump them up and be like, no, your business is awesome. You need to tell people about it. Should be a hype guy.
You're a great
guy.
Well,
I am a hype guy.
Yeah.
I joke about that. There's a few people at the gym where I like announce their presence now is kind of our thing. And it's kind of fun. I'm like, I should do that at networking events, like the British royalty where they announce who's there. Like just stand at the door and just announce.
That'd be such a funny idea to hire someone to dress like that and announce them when they come in. Oh, it'd be so funny. I wish
I know about a networking event that's coming up.
I know. You do it tonight. You do it Friday.
I com- completely forgot about until I got an email about it.
Do you still think that you talk too much?
I try to stay aware of it.
Really?
Yeah, there are moments when I know I've uttered a few more syllables than I needed to.
I think you're one of the most eloquent speakers I know. In all seriousness, though, like, you remind me of Obama, where everything is not calculated in a negative way, but you speak with purpose. Every word is purposefully said. I don't think you ever say too much. I don't think you ramble. I do. But I think when I listen to you, you command my attention in a very positive way, not in a way of, like, announcing yourself, but just you speak with purpose.
Well, you're very kind. I guess it matters to me most of the time that I have a positive effect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've taken enough trips around the sun to reach the point where I believe that my life doesn't have a lot of value if I'm not helping.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not having a positive effect on people, then I'm just sort of living for myself. Mm-hmm. And that can be boring. So, yeah, I've become more and more deliberately focused on being helpful.
Mm.
And that sometimes causes me to talk.
When did you start thinking more about that? And paying more attention to wanting to help?
I guess I reached a point, I had done the Bay Street Warriors thing. And had lots of really great resume writing and had some good stories. I had opportunities to make better than average money and have a more comfortable life. I had kids, which I guess I used to say they were my focus, and then I look at what my behavior was, and I wonder if that was true. I certainly learned to make it true.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess I reached a point where I thought about career, and career ideas had changed. I was teaching at the college. I'd been there a while. I loved that life. I loved the life of every day, going in and offering something of value. And so I wondered, well, what's your career? Where are you going next? And I thought, I don't know if there's any place I want to go next, as much as I want to make sure I help as many people as I can. And then my teaching started to become very personal. I started to really get to know my students, what their names were, what they were about, what they were trying to accomplish. And then I found myself to be more helpful. And that's, I guess, the story that leads me to the conclusion of, it doesn't matter what you do, it matters how you do it. Doing it in a way to help others, you feel free to think about it. Life doesn't get better.
It's wonderful. I'm just thinking about how it's a different frame on life when you're helping people with that frame of positivity. And, you know, I'm unpacking myself, where for a long time it was like, serve and sacrifice to help others.
Mm-hmm.
And I've let go of a lot of that part. And now it is about, and I've probably picked it up from you, those positive interactions. And even, you know, if I walk down the street or little things, like when you start noticing how just the little way you say something or, you know, it brightens someone's day just that little bit, it's just a great way to live life and just a reframe of, like, you know, not being toxic positive, you know, hype guy like that all the time. But, you know, no one has said, please don't be my hype guy when I'm like, hey, I'm your new hype guy. You know, people seem to like that.
I think there's a lot of room for kindness.
Mm-hmm.
You're getting good at kindness. But that's the
I am still laughing at what your spouse would say when Matt compared you to Obama. I can hear the response in my head.
If you could ever hear an eye roll.
It would have been something to the effect of, yeah, you should do
that. Does Obama bring home chips and make you eat them too?
I consider that kindness.
Yeah, yes. Helping. Yeah. Helping her taste buds.
Well, anything else you'd like to talk about? This has been a wonderful episode.
Yeah. I guess for me, if I had a message that I wanted to spread around right now, it's really a message for men. And thank you. And I told you this joke, and it's a huge joke to me, that used to be around, and we laugh it off. But in truth, it's a deep, deep, meaningful summary of our society. The joke is, you know, a woman in the shower discovers a lump. And by noon, her four best friends know, and they have a support group. Right? A man goes in the shower and finds a lump. And he says to himself, I hope that goes. And I think that men are trapped in this world of expectations. I think everything is wrong. I think everything is a construction. I think everything that we live is the result of the interpretation of things we do in the past. And it's a pursuit to try to repeat the good stuff and avoid the bad stuff rather than create new good stuff. And I think men are very emotional beings, just a friend. But emotion has been kind of beaten out. There's a lot of insight in emotion with men, but they don't take the time to learn from it because a lot of it just automatically goes to anger. It just becomes anger. It gets expressed as anger. It could be deep, deep hurt, but it gets expressed as anger. It could be deep, deep fear, but it gets expressed as anger because that's the way we've been trained. That's the way we were brought up. And I guess I've had some real rewarding times working with men now as a hypnotist and trying to help them understand their emotions, get really comfortable with their emotions, see themselves as normal, because we're so, as men, we really isolate ourselves, quite literally, mentally, and physically. We're loners. We're all loners, even if we have buddies. You don't go revealing yourself to your buddies.
Yeah.
Right? You want your buddies to think of you a certain way. And men are trained to do that. And that just isn't a great way to go through life. It's not a way to invite possibility into your life. It's not a way to have that intimacy in your life. It's not a way to really enjoy real relationships with people, friendships. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's unfortunate that we've become so good at it. And so for me right now, you know, if I have a message, my message, I repeat this a lot. Again, Hillary would say, oh, sure. No, she wouldn't say it that much. But she's heard it before. Yeah, I want to help men. I want to help men be good men because they are good men. And they need to see themselves like that. And they need to see that their lives have meaning. And they need to see that their emotions are allowed. And that's been my message now for a while. Thanks for letting me share.
I feel like we can start the podcast again and continue talking about that, but yeah, that's awesome.
Awesome. Well, if you'd like to be on the podcast, we'd love to have you. You can reach out to us at setitup@corthasmallbusinesspodcast.ca, and you can find Les at somhypnosis.com.
Yeah.
Yes. You can go there and set up a free journey meeting and meet with Les and experience all the great magic he can help you create in your life.